Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Wednesday, September 3rd. Can you believe it already? Wow, a lot of things have happened over the past few months. But we're trying to get back on track here. And tonight is a somewhat different program, but it's also a very special program, dear to my heart in many respects. As you know, that most of our programming is geared toward issues related to foster and adoptive youth and providing information to give the village an opportunity to understand more of what our young people experience and what some of the young adults may still be going through. And the other part of this is to be able to give the young adults a sense of support, a sense of connectedness, and encouragement to move forward. But the lessons and the information that we provide is not only for them, it's something that everyone can benefit. And we call it Heart Talk because it's related to matters of the heart. Tonight's program is another part of my heart. Some of you know that I am a member of the Les Brown Platinum Speakers Network, and we call ourselves the Platinum Family. And tonight I am pleased to share some other members of the village who are members of the Les Brown Platinum Family with me. And one of them you've actually heard before. He's co-hosted our program. He's been my guest. He is an author of the book, The Secret Path to Wisdom, Seeking, Searching Within. You tell me if I missed it wrong. If I got it wrong, I know I probably did. But you'll correct me. And that is none other than Mr. Dan Smith. And he is here from here in Northern California. Our second guest is also one of my brothers from the Platinum. Actually, I met him and sharing his story before I even knew what a platinum speaker was. He is also a facilitator of the program that we're going to be talking about tonight, and he's the author of the book, The Truth About the Big Lie, and it is actually his story, which I'm sure that he will share more with us during later on in the program. And his name is Mr. Dwight Pleasure, who resides in Southern California. So we got the full West Side Platinum Family represented tonight. So welcome, Dwight and Dan, also known as D&D. Are you there?
We're here. I'm here. This is Dan.
Are you there, Dwight?
This is Dwight Pleasure.
Okay, Dwight. Let's see. I think his kind went off. Are you back, Dwight?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Did you hear your introduction?
I sure did. Thank you very kindly.
You're more than welcome. Okay. And this program is actually going to be real easy because it's a lot of fun. We have traveled together. We have worked together. We have fussed together, and actually I've probably been the only one fussing, and they both really know just how to let me be and tell my story, and then they come back in and set it up right. So that is the benefit of family. And it's good when people know your story, because sometimes when you might not be in a place that other people expect you to be, one of the benefits of sharing your story is that people can relate to you, know where you're coming from. So tonight's program, we're talking about the power of story. And our segment is entitled, There Is Power in Your Story. You know, and as other people say, everybody has one. Yeah, but does it have value? And when I've talked to many of our young people, especially those in the system, have come to the system, about sharing this, I've heard things like, well, nobody want to hear that crap. What difference does it make? It's not going to make any difference. It's just full of stuff. But I believe that there is a purpose for everything. And I also believe that sharing our stories is also a part of us fulfilling our purpose. And I know that everything that we've gone through, the good, the difficult, the confusing, the disturbing part, usually points us to our purpose in life. And it's usually what we hold on to. And I became aware of that fact as I was writing my book, even more clearly, my first book, It's Hard Work Being the Village That Raises a Child. So let's let Brighton then tell us about, first of all, what is D&D Consulting, and how did you come up with the concept?
You want to take that one, Dwight?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought already.
I thought you said that you want to take that.
Oh, sorry about that, everyone. D&D Consulting. You know, D&D Consulting and coaching came out of Dwight and I just working side by side, but kind of independently with some overlap, and we just sort of had this connection that is really undefinable, and people kept saying to both of us, boy, when you two are together, there's something that happens. And I think in the beginning, both Dwight and I were kind of looking at each other going, do you know what they're talking about? Because I don't. But as we listened to people, we began to realize that we were able to see things in a way that other people were not able to see them, and we were able to present things to people in a way that they understood. And that's not to say that Dwight and I are the same. We are a lot different. We see things from a different perspective, which is actually a huge benefit to the people that we work with. So we decided about 5-6 years ago to start pursuing this, and it took a couple of years for it to really start to move, but over the last few years, we've really been moving forward with the D&D coaching and training solutions.
Okay. And so what is the Total Speaker Workshop?
Well, the Total Speaker Workshop is, and I want to thank Dan for that assessment. The Total Speaker Workshop is really born out of, I would say, have to be out of our experience with Les Brown in terms of us being able to be a part of a transformational and experiential workshop under the mentorship of Les Brown, and then basically coming to a place where we wanted to take what we had learned and just begin to go out there and model some of what we learned in the workshops, and also to add our flavor or the chemistry that happens between Dan and myself, and then basically turn that into a workshop. And so we started out a few years back with the Power of Story workshop, and then we thought about expanding that concept to include the broader speaking skills beyond just telling your story. And so it pretty much has evolved up to this point. And the correct pronunciation of our speaking business is D&D Training and Coaching Solutions. That's D&D Training and Coaching Solutions. So I want to thank you for this opportunity to kind of bring people up to date in terms of how we got to this particular place.
Yes.
You know, Evelyn, you said what I believe to be the key term in why this got started and why we continue to pursue this, and that is purpose. And you said that you thought the story was part of everybody's purpose. In this society, it is impossible for all of us to experience everything. And I'm talking about the good, the bad, the indifferent. And when we share stories, what Dwight and I realized, we would just sit back and we'd watch the healing that was happening, both for the storyteller and for the listener. And as people told their story, they transformed. They literally transformed from somebody who was running from or hiding from or trying to subdue their pain to being someone who steps into the limelight and says, I can use my pain to heal others. And that is so rewarding for us.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. And so that really answers the question that I was about to ask, is why is someone's story important? And so you mentioned the healing process, you know, and as people say, nobody wants to hear that, but I also believe that sharing a story helps us to heal some of those wounds that we have not given voice to. They sit inside our hearts, sit inside our souls, and they start to just deteriorate our being because we're holding on to them. I know as a therapist, that is one portion of the benefit of sharing our stories, is to give voice to it and to bring healing into our own lives.
And I think there's a release that happens when you speak your story, when you speak, and it doesn't have to be pain, but, you know, pain is the one that comes out the strongest. And there's a release into the universe. And once that release happens, you're never the same after that. It puts you in a different, you come from a different perspective from that point forward. And the more times you do it, your perspective continues to shift and shift and shift. And as your perspective shifts, your view of the things that you've been talking about also changes, and your view of yourself. I mean, self-esteem comes back, and shame leaves, and some of the other things that perhaps you've been carrying for years and years and years.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you started to do the storytelling workshops, what was your primary purpose at that point? Because I think it stemmed from, as you said, from the experience of going through the speaker training with Les Brown. So what audience did you plan to bring into your training?
Well, we pretty much threw out a wide net in terms of who we would bring in and work with in terms of story. Because, again, it was an evolutionary process that began kind of more of a general nature and has really evolved to something more specific in terms of where now our workshops are not just about a person telling their story, but it's about a person also in the process of telling their story, getting back to this thing where we talk about healing. And story is really the vehicle that brings out of hiding many things that we have buried away, that we have hidden for many years. And it allows the story, the process of story, allows us to bring those things out of darkness into the light, to where it can not only be examined by the storyteller and be seen clearly for whatever that the makeup of that particular issue was, but it can also be brought into the light so that those that are listening to and hearing the story can find some common connection with the storyteller in terms of the human experience, and thereby be given permission to now begin to look at some areas and some issues in their own lives where they still have those things buried and hidden, but by the process of story, they're brought into the light and made manifest, and that person can then begin to start their journey of healing and bringing things into the light.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I want to add to that. Evelyn, you know that I'm a product of alcoholic parents, and that myself I have been clean and sober for 26 and a half years. And I heard a lot of things before that date when I decided to become clean and sober that I didn't hear, if you understand what I'm saying there. They were said at me, but they didn't enter me. They did not become part of me. And I started going to a group called Adult Children of Alcoholics. And what got me was the stories that I heard. I am a person, people talk about calmness and meditation. I cannot do that except in one area when somebody is pouring their heart into a story. There's only two people in the world as far as I'm concerned, the person telling the story and me. And the reverse happens when I tell my story. So when you look at groups like that, you look at 12-step programs, it's a bunch of non-professionals telling each other their story. And as these stories parallel and as they draw each of us in, they draw us to an area that we haven't been to before, and we leave with something different to consider, something that brings healing to us, and what we give brings healing to someone else.
Exactly. And, you know, I like the fact that you're talking about it from a healing perspective, because sometimes people share stories and they're not sure why they're sharing it. They're just talking. And so one of the questions is, how do I determine when and where to share my story? Because I think this initially started off as about people who were going to be doing public speaking. And so I know that is one demographic of the audience who are learning how to take on these techniques. Because some people say, well, I'm not interested in speaking, but I want to be able to share. I want to build the confidence to speak up. And I also want to be able to share my story to help someone else. But I love the part about the healing, because as, you know, I look at people who are in the mental health field, I realize a lot of people are trying to help people, but they've not looked at their own stories. It's sort of hidden in there and it's dormant, and it causes them to really not be as effective in their healing work because they haven't done their own healing. So I think when we're talking about being speakers and doing other things to help people to share, to be powerful, the first part is that before the power, we've got to get the healing. And as my statement is, follow your heart, but heal it first. So if you're not looking at really at speaking, and we're just talking about a general level of interaction with people, how do we determine where and who to share our stories with?
It's real simple. Don't overthink it. Follow your heart. And I'll give you examples in life. I want you to think about someone in your life that when you were in a point of need, told you something in story form that changed your perspective. And they didn't know you were coming. They didn't know that you were going to put them into that situation. They just went there. They just trusted the feelings as they came up, and they expressed them. See, I don't want people to get confused and think that this is all about being in an auditorium and speaking to a bunch of people. It's in my mind, it's more important than one-on-one, because most of what we've learned from the stories we heard, we did not hear them in an auditorium. We heard them most of the time one-on-one or in a small group or walking down or sitting in a chair next to somebody. We did not hear them looking up at a stage.
Yeah, and one of the things that we share in the our workshops is we talk about the power of story and sharing your story on three different levels. And we really work with people to get them to those three levels, you know, where they're really communicating their story. And it's to the one, then it's to the many, and then it's to the masses. So because some people may only stay in the category of to the one, where they're basically sharing their stories one-on-one, and sometimes that happens in counseling sessions and things like that, or especially in our workshop setting, it can happen at a table where there are five or six people around the table, and then a person becomes comfortable in sharing their story there and feeling a sense of empowerment and being able to empower others. And then many times some of them are able to go up to the front of the room and face five or six tables of people. And so I think that progression and the way we teach people how to frame their story from those three different perspectives, it allows them then to have the mindset to go out and when given the opportunity to share their story in those three different types of venues, there is a lot more comfort and ease and delivery of their story. So, and the other piece mm-hmm. is that there are some things, some parts of our story that are so so to the level of vulnerability and openness that you really have to be discerning. And Dan talked about following your heart. And it kind of goes even a little deeper than that, to where you have to be feel safe to tell your story.
Uh-huh,
and some people,
uh-huh.
and some people are not really, they're not ready to hear your story, and they're not
uh-huh.
safe to tell your story too. And then, of course, that can cause problems going forward. So there's a lot of you know, pros and cons in terms of who and when we should share our story.
Right. And when you're talking about safety, I think one other aspect of that is people's interest. You know, why would their story be of interest to someone else? And usually there's something that you feel that there's a common thread or a connection there. And so the next question really that ties in with that, what is it that makes a story of interest to someone else? What do you think it is that makes someone's story so compelling or so interesting?
I think there's setting aside the technique of the flow of the story and being able to make all that work, it's one of them is honesty and integrity
mm-hmm.
in telling the story, that you know you have really lived with the story, that you're telling it from a place inside of you, just like when, you know, whoever it may have been, your grandmother, your grandfather sat down with you and their voice changed, and you knew that this story was coming from deep inside of them, and it was pure, and it was true. And then the second part of it is some sort of a revelation, something that you learned, something tangible that somebody can take from that story, and they don't even have to necessarily, and most of the time won't apply it exactly as you did, but they can take that and convert it and mold it into a direction that they want to pursue.
That's right.
Yeah.
A story is made up of words. And so when you really break a story down, it's broken down into words that can connect with various parts of another human being in terms of the human experience. So, you know, the power of words. Meanings are in people and not necessarily in words. And the storyteller, to some degree, that we tell our stories by faith. We have a hope and a desire that it's going to be a blessing, that it's going to help somebody and transform mm-hmm. somebody. So we use words to convey that, and those words have a way of finding a place in the listener that really, like Dan said, ignites, or the illumination comes on, or the light comes on, or the commonality of connection comes on, and it wakes that person up many times in the place of their emotions and their
mm-hmm.
feelings. And they tap into
mm-hmm.
that, and oftentimes when you find that place, and that's really when engagement really takes place, when in the process of sharing your story or speaking to an audience, that there is some serious commonality that opens up that channel and says, okay, my ears are perked up. This person has touched a place in me that nobody else was able to touch. And I think that's the power of somebody like a Les Brown, or even a Dan and a Dwight or whatever, or an Evelyn, to where we are in a situation to where we're able to tap into that human potential and that part of a person that causes the transformation process to begin. And it can begin
mm-hmm.
at an infinitesimal place deep down within a person that wakes up that area, and then all of a sudden the photosynthesis of the words begin to allow that part of a person to come alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and sometimes, as I talked about a revelation, sometimes the biggest revelation people get from a story is, I am not alone.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. That's good.
Exactly.
That's good.
And I think for this world, because of the trials and the tribulations and the challenges, obstacles we all face, there's always that time when we feel we're all alone. And I know for myself personally, you know, going in and out of changes and in and out of depressions and keep moving, one is knowing my purpose. But the other thing is I can always think, because I've always loved to read, and I've loved reading biographies and autobiographies. And I can always go back to say, you know, well, the person I love, and she went through this, and so if she made it, I can make it. You know, if he went through this.
Mm-hmm.
So listening to other people, it gives me a sense of, yeah, this is nothing, as they said, there's nothing new under the sun. It just comes with a different name or a different face. So, yeah,
right.
That we can do it. So, and I think that sense of connectedness, because there's a sense of isolation, even though with all of the technology that we have these days, with all of the information that's available, you know, worldwide with the click of a mouse, there's still that sense of disconnect. So needing to hear that voice, needing to feel somebody, is like, it's almost like that quickening, as you say, on the inside. There's something in your spirit that ignites. And you say, oh, I felt that. And, you know, I got a jump start now. I can move on. And there's something in each of us, not only our experiences, something that I've learned. I used to be ashamed of my voice because it was so, you know, people said it was so high-pitched or it was squeaky or I talked too low. And I remember the first time I ever got a compliment on the tone of my voice. And then there are people who said, I just called because I wanted to hear your voice. Or something happened, and I knew that was your voice, and I got excited. And that still today surprises me. But in that, it's about who we are as a being. So that's, yeah, very important, very, very important.
You know,
so
Evelyn, as you were talking about your voice and the different levels of coming away from that belief that you had the first time somebody said they liked it and somebody called just to say they wanted to hear your voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk about stories, and there's no one story, there's multiple stories, because most of us, we don't have one wall in front of us. We have multiple walls. It's like a maze of walls. And, you know, it may start with I'm not alone, and that knocks down the first wall that's confining you, and you get a little bit of room to breathe, but you're still not out. The more stories you hear, the more parts of the wall that are knocked down, and the more you tell your story, because if the stories are coming from the outside, that's one energy that's knocking down these walls that imprison you. But if you're telling your own story, then you're knocking the walls down from the inside, and somebody else is chipping away at them from the outside.
Ooh.
And they come down much, much faster.
I love that. Oh, you've been coming up with these visuals that are just like, woof, I love it. Oh, if we need to pick a picture like that, you need to guys to put that on your website or something on some material, tearing down the walls. I love it. I love it.
The
you know,
walls.
And it's like to me, huh?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you said the walls, four walls?
I said let the walls come down. That was just.
Okay, yeah, that's it.
You know what? You know what?
You know,
Happens, Evelyn, often when we tell our stories and we do this, we find out that, you know, all these walls that have imprisoned us, that we were our own brick mason, that many times we built our own walls.
Yes.
And we built them for protection. We built them because they were a part of our defense system. We built them because they work. And they did what they were supposed to do until they didn't. And at that point, they go the other way, and they imprison us. And so there's part of the other part of it is to get that level of understanding that you can only get through story that helps you to realize that what once worked for you is now working against you.
Yes, and insight.
Yeah. It was a temporary kind of like self-medication, because many people – when we talk about this whole idea of hiding, many people have as a goal to hide and to become isolated and to feel safe within the confines of their own mind. But the reality is, of course, we know going in the wrong direction, because you heal in relationship. So when we talk about stories that heal, then we're talking about the ability to connect with another human being, thereby facilitating the healing process, because we don't heal in isolation. We heal in connection and in relationship. So that's a really powerful thing. So stories then help us to relate, as Dan said. Well, I can connect with this person that has maybe a similar experience or an experience like someone I know. But at the end of the day, it's two people connecting, and the power of story and the power of words help to facilitate that connection.
Yes, yes. You know, it's interesting because a scripture keeps coming to my mind, and I believe in Revelation it says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know, and it's like, you know, knowing, it's like, look back where I came from, you know, because the story, and we're going to talk about that, the components of a story, but part of it is looking back and realizing, yes, I came through something, and that sharing of what's going on. So I'm going to switch a little bit, just continue on, because we're talking about connecting with people, isolating to protect ourselves. And that isolation usually comes from a place of shame and embarrassment. A lot of times people are ashamed. If they've gotten through a situation, there's some shame and embarrassment that they don't want people to know where they came from or what their circumstances or what their former lives may have been. And then there are also people who are still in the midst of it, and they're like swimming and flapping, trying to get out, but they're afraid to let somebody know where they are in the progress. Speak on that a little bit for us, please.
Well, you know, Les Brown talks about a book that I can't remember the person's name, but the title of the book was really a long title. And it said, and the title of the book was Why I Won't Tell You Who I Am Because You May Not Like Me, and That's All I Am. And
wow.
So when we talk about sharing our stories, there is this fear of if I tell you who I am, if I really come clean, become open, transparent, and vulnerable, you may judge me, you may criticize me, or listen to this, or you may leave me. So rather than risk disconnecting, risk losing, and dealing with the whole issue of loss, many times we keep certain parts of ourselves hidden. And keep in mind, many of us have parts of us that are very open and transparent and very public. And those are the parts that many times our public self excel. And it's kind of the Robin Williams syndrome, where there was a part of him that was able to connect with humans and able to cause them to laugh and to have emotional experiences and all of that. But there was another hidden part of him that he would rarely, if ever, bring to the light. And the tragedy is that he was not able to connect that part with the healing source of another person, of another experience, and to allow him now to not be fragmented, but to be integrated and show up as a whole person.
Exactly.
And there's several aspects to this. You know, one of the things that I thought about when you were talking about shame was, you know, how well or how free can you truly live carrying the weight of shame all the time? And then the other part of it is that often, just as we built our own walls, we have expanded, if not created, our own shame because we've never shared it with anybody. And we have continued to reevaluate it, and we have continued to redefine it as something that is so bad, so shameful, that nobody would understand. And quite often, we're in a room that is populated with people that are feeling the exact same way. And and by not using our story and not sharing our story, we stay imprisoned in that. You know, and Dwight was talking about Robin Williams. And I remember, you know, there was an interview. Of course, a lot of stuff came up after his death where he said that he was often lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to believe that there's a voice that was not spoken that could have reached him. And I seriously mean this. I mean this. And this is the other part of it, the responsibility. You know, if we know something, if we've been through something and somebody else is doing it, we have to understand that there's a possibility that someone will die with our silence ringing in their ears because they've never heard the words we were afraid to say. Because we were shameful of those because we thought they were horrible. What we don't realize is, to some extent, everybody has some of that in them.
Yes. And we're socialized or taught, and it starts at an early age. You know, people say, don't put your dirty laundry outside. You know, I wouldn't tell anybody that if I were you. And I know, you know, that was some of the things that I heard growing up. So it was always that sense of, you know, well, I'm not supposed to say that. And part of my problem now, people say I talk too much. They said, you have no shame. I said, not really. And once I started opening up, it was so freeing, I wanted to do more. And I'm finding that even in my work, the more I disclose, you know, at a decent, a reasonable level, the more free I feel and the more it frees up the people that I'm working with. Interestingly enough, September is National Alopecia Month, and as you know, in the past 2 years, I decided to shave my head, and a lot of people didn't know why because I started wearing wigs all the time. But I was embarrassed because I'd grown up with long hair, and, you know, that was one of my star characteristics, you know, your smile and your hair. And there was shame about not having it. And after a while, when I got tired, I said, oh, just forget it. And more people have come up and talked to me, people who not only have some autoimmune deficiency, people who have lupus, people who have chemotherapy or other issues have been free to talk. And the week after I first went public with it, I went in, I had a new client, and one of the things that she presented that she wrote in her intake, dealing with her whole thing, having lost her hair, and I just stopped with the paper in my hand and looked at the ceiling and said, okay, Lord, I get you. Thank you. But there was such a freedom that came from that. It opens people up, and it frees me up. So, yeah, that is just so true because you think no one else is going through, and then you find out there's a whole bunch of people going for various reasons. So that is, you know, our responsibility. You know, I'm hiding, and when God is saying, you know, come on out, you know, from among monks are hidden and come out and heal some folks. It's like, oh, yeah. So it was a double healing, yes. We talk about power. You know, how do you define power? Because people say, you know, you'll hear a message and say, oh, that was powerful. But what does that really mean? Because I think sometimes we overuse that term. We use it without a real significance to most people. When we say the power of our story, what does that mean?
When I think of a power of story, it is the power in a sense like a magnet has that can pull something out without directly using force or anything like that. It has nothing to do with force. It has the ability to penetrate years and years and years and years of armor that people have been putting on layer after layer after layer. And the story does it in a way that it just gently just flows through it. And it gets to the core, the essence of the person, to the heart of the person, and then gently invites them to come out from their armor and to be vulnerable. The biggest power in story, I believe, is vulnerability. If you're vulnerable, like you said with your hair, you gave permission for people to talk. When a speaker and if someone tells a story, if they're vulnerable with their story, if they're honest and they have integrity with it and they really put themselves into it, the listener will put themselves into it also. But they really don't put themselves in your story. They put themselves in their story that parallels your story. So they're listening to you, but they're feeling themselves sometimes for the first time ever or in years, and they're feeling it in a different way. That's the power of story.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think another way of kind of looking at that same power, because I think it's multifaceted when it comes to this ability and the power that story has. For me, it was when coming out of an addiction 27 years ago, and of course dealing with all of the shame and the pain and the betrayal and and all of the things that I did were harmful during that addiction season. And then coming out of it and looking back at that long trail of disaster and failure and pain, and then coming to a point or resolve to where I begin to share my story. The power of story was really the power to heal. It was something that was able to heal me. Now, it wasn't like I jumped out there and became totally transparent, open, and vulnerable and shared my story on every layer and every degree. But as I was able to go from one place in the story and one step of vulnerability in sharing and openness and finding out that after I shared that no, the world didn't come to an end. Everybody didn't leave me. As a matter of fact, I felt stronger. I felt more complete. And then going to another level, it took 15 years of sharing my story ad infinitum, ad nauseum, all over the place before I was able to open up my mouth and share as a part of my story that during a season of that time, I was homeless. I could not bring myself to saying that. And after I finally got the words out, I realized that I was okay, that I was still fine. I had 10 fingers and 10 toes, and that the world hadn't come to an end. What it resulted in was me growing to another level of transparency, openness, and vulnerability, and giving me the ability to now, we're still talking about the power of story, giving me the ability now to have someone in the audience that has been there, done that, got the T-shirt, to look and to nod with their head in the quietness of their own spirit and say, he can relate to where I am because he's been there.
And I think that's important what Dwight just said, because when you have that relationship with the listener, whether it's the one, the many, or the masses, and you are in a place of integrity in telling your story, there's a part inside of you that is letting you know that you are not being honest, and that the person you're talking to deserves another level of honesty, which causes you as the storyteller to go deeper. So it truly is a reciprocal relationship, whether you're talking to one person, to a small group of people, or to 10,000 people. And it's hard for some people to imagine that you could have an intimate relationship at that level with 10,000 people, but you can. There's an energy there. There's a feeling that comes. There's something that happens that is transformable for both the audience and the storyteller.
And when we have been taught in our training about incorporating or integrating a story within our message as speakers, I know one of the things that is stated is never tell a story without a point. How does that go?
And never make a point without a story.
And never tell a story without a point.
Right. Never tell a story without a point. Never make a point without a story. Think about everything in life that you've learned. Try to think of something you've learned without a story. Whether you heard the story or you were experiencing the story as you learned it. Everything, even something that sounds like it wouldn't have any story to it, like math. Johnny had 6 apples and he ate one. How many apples does Johnny have now? It's a mini story. That's how human beings learn. That's how they can relate, and that's how they can grasp it and make the concept tangible, is through a story that they can follow.
Yeah. And it's relational, because we are, for the most part, even those of who may consider themselves to be introverts, we still are relational, whether we're not interacting with someone, but there's still that element of just being another human being. We're observing, we're watching, we're hearing, even if we're not expressing what it is that's going on. So that's, yeah, we're relational people. And so that story takes us through a process. And I think there's a difference also between, some of us are visual learners, others are audio learners. And so some things are what we hear, but when you're telling a story, because I'm not a real audio person, but if you're telling me a story, I can visualize what's going on. So it may not be just the words, but I'm painting a picture and I'm following it. That is what gets me. Like, so we'll be talking and like they can describe something and you can just see it, you can touch it, you can almost smell it. It's like, okay, you got me there. So yeah, those are the components of a story that draws interest and significance into our individual lives. Believe
right.
it or not,
and that's
people go ahead.
That's a lot of what would, Dwight and I do with the workshops is we give people feedback and we get people to paint that picture so that everybody can see it. And Les tells the story about the time that Les told, you know, he said the line that, what was the line, Dwight, about the rose?
My line or the line?
Your line about the rose, about the fragrance of the rose left by the foot that crushed it.
Oh, yeah, forgiveness is like the sweet fragrance that a rose leaves on the foot that crushed it.
And Les Brown was telling the story at one of our workshops that Dwight brought this rose, and he threw the rose down, and he stepped on it, and when he crushed the rose, it released the fragrance. And Dwight said, Les, the rose was plastic. And Les stopped in the middle of what he was saying, and he looked at him. He said, "It was plastic. What do you mean it was? I smelled it. What do you mean it was plastic?" See, that's the power when you work your story and work on your story with and how you can enhance your story so that it reaches multiple learners, like you were talking about before, multiple styles of listening. If you can make a plastic rose smell
okay.
to where not just one, but everybody in the room smells the rose, you're a good storyteller.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I was about to say, can you believe we're already 47 minutes into the interview? Didn't fly quickly.
We're just starting to have fun.
I know. Well, we can have fun. We could go over. It's my show. And we have several listeners, so I can't even tell. I know there's two in the chat room, and there's several on the lines. And I'm not sure who's listening online. But I do want to open up the call at some point. But one, I want to talk about just sort of the fundamentals. What are the components to sharing a story, or components to even developing your story? If you have someone in your workshop, I know that they are, and actually, Dwight, I remember when I first became, actually just before I became a Platinum member, you were offering some individual coaching, and I remember some of the components that you shared with me about where to start, because I was writing my book at the time. You remember that?
Absolutely, yes, I do remember.
Yeah, and you were telling me, and I was telling you all this thing, and you said, well, you got that part and that part, part of the thing. The thing is, where are you going to put it? I said, I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
Right.
So
right,
what are just the phases or the components of developing your story to share?
Well, one of the things that I think happens in story is, first of all, a person getting past the blockage that tells them that I don't have a story. And so mm-hmm. part of our workshop experience is really, you know, breaking down that wall, as Dan was talking about, those kinds of walls. So a person then comes to terms with the fact that they have a story, that they want to share their story, but they just don't know where to begin or where to start. And one of the ways that we frame our coaching experience and also some part of the workshop is we break the story down into three parts. Because if you join Toastmasters or some of these speaking organizations, you're going to hear them talk about an opening, a body, and a conclusion. And those are all good handles to begin to start the framework for your story. Because, I mean, quite frankly, those are the integral parts of a story. But as Dan was saying, our workshop is a little more nuanced than that and more of a transformational nature. So we want to go deeper than just the opening, body, and conclusion. So we begin by using these three parts of story. the genesis of your story, the journey of your story, and the resolution of a story. And so those are the components and parts that we begin to work with, and, of course, those three parts are connected by what we call transitions. Now, I just threw a lot of stuff out there, and, of course, you'd have to come to the workshop to get the rest of it, but, but anyway, it's the idea of putting and beginning your story in bite-sized chunks, perfecting those bite-sized pieces, and then hopefully the totality of putting all those three together, you will have a powerful story that is transformational in nature.
And it's also understanding that we all tell a story with intention. Whether even a joke, your intention is to lighten up the room, to get somebody to laugh. So when you do a genesis, you know, when you start with a genesis and journey and the resolution, when you're speaking to someone, you are doing it to influence behavior. You're getting them to start, stop, change, or to do something different than they've been doing before. So the first thing you'd have to do is you have to distract them from what's going on in their mind right now. And that's what the genesis does. Then you have to dispute their current way of thinking, because if you don't, that current way of thinking will continue on after you're done speaking. And then the last thing you have to do is inspire them. You can't grab them. You can't drag them. You have to inspire them, which means they take action on their own to do something different. That's your intention. And that's why the story is important. You could, we didn't need story, we'd just hand them a memo. Say, listen, see 1 through 10, do them. And most people would just throw it in the wastebasket.
Dan, that was masterful. I love the way you did distract, dispute, and inspire, and basically frame it around the genesis, journey, and resolution. Man, I want to come to your workshop. When is your next workshop? That was good, man. I'm like, oh man, that's good stuff right there. We got to remember that. Oh my God.
I love it. And we're always learning. You know, when we think we know something, there's always more to learn. And, you know, and that's the power of relationship as well.
Yeah.
As well. And every time we talk, we never know what's going to come out, because there's inspiration and creativity continuing to flow. And that is itself is a part of the story. You know, you said something about resolution, and that was one of the questions I was going to ask, and was actually an issue which took me so long to really finish or get started in my first book, because you said that the third part of the story is resolution. And my concern was that I felt like my story was still in a state of unresolved and didn't understand how it could be useful to anyone. And I got it, and at the end there was still some things, but then I realized there was a whole new chapter opening up. So I said, well, this is just volume one. So in speaking to people, how do we recognize if there's been a resolution or not? Or what do we need to resolve?
Well, you know what? I think, and you really tapped into something else, because all this stuff's coming flowing right now, is that the idea of resolution is really the challenge of the human experience in terms of getting to a place in life and not be able to get any further because of things that have not been resolved. And I really think that some of that transcends over into our ability, especially if we're telling our signature story of, you know, that has to do with our life and our own particular journey. A lot of times when there is a lot of unresolved issues, it's hard for us to be really congruent with the resolution of our story when there is this conflict about resolution and unresolved issues in our own life. And I think that can come across, but that's where this whole process of workshops and coaching comes about, to where we can freeze the frame on some areas of our lives, go back there, look at some stuff, get it resolved, and I think we show up more complete and more whole as we begin to resolve a lot of those issues. So, but Evelyn, you put it right. You said, okay, I came to this point to say I can't really bring this thing to any resolution right now. So that must mean that there's more to the story, or there's some more I have to work on to get to that point of resolution. And that's why we have books that have chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6, because the story could not end at chapter 5, because there was a lot of stuff that had to be resolved. And so when we talk about the telling of our story, it's really the unraveling of some things and issues and stuff down on the inside. So when we're writing a book, even, I mean, the book takes on these layer after layer after layer that brings us to this point to where, and they all, and everything, you know, and they all, it ended happily ever after kind of thing. And so that's where the real true resolve comes in.
Yeah, I agree with
part,
I agree with both of you, and I think one of the reasons that we bring people to tell their story is because is not to find resolution. In many ways, it's because their life has become resolved, and they're stagnant. They're just breathing, waiting to die. Because they have all these things inside of them that they have not released, and they have not shared, and they have not taken in anything either, because they're full of all this stuff that is just clogging them up. The resolution of life is death and the transition after that. It is not, you know, midway through your years and just continuing to do the same thing day after day, think the same way day after day, breathe the same way day after day. It is about learning. It's about moving. It's about exploring where you are in life, where you're going in life, and it's about living.
Yes, living. And I think it's not even – I was thinking of resolution of the problem or the challenge that you encountered. That may not change, but the resolve is the resolve within yourself that there's something to be gained in what I've been through as well as what I'm going through. That's the resolution. I resolved that this is no longer going to stop me. My life isn't over. I am still breathing. I still have a life to live, and life is good despite the circumstances. I think that's a resolution with and in itself.
You know, Evelyn, I think some people get paralyzed thinking that they have to have the absolute and perfect solution before they can tell a story, before they can write a book, before they can do a blog or anything like that, and that's not true. You tell the story to the extent you can tell it today. Just like Dwight was saying about not being able to mention that he was homeless. He wasn't being dishonest in those 15 years. He was telling the story to the extent that he could tell it every day. And after 15 years, he got to the point where he could tell it a little further. And then he was able to tell it a little further. And it's still growing. It's still moving forward. So don't worry about having it totally resolved in the absolute answer. Just tell your story as it exists today.
Exactly. And it's from a different angle. You can tell it from the beginning of the journey. You can tell it from the middle of the journey. And most times it's never really from the end of the journey because the journey continues. So we tell it from the place in which we stand. So it's just like a lens, like a camera. We're capturing it from where we stand. At this point, I would like to open up the lines to see if anyone has any questions they would like to ask, or maybe I was hoping that we could do a little demonstration of some of the work that you do with individuals. So that might be a little difficult given the time frame that we have now. I do have the capacity to go for another 20, 25 minutes, but I know your schedules are busy. So we're just going to take it as it comes, but I'm going to open up the lines to our listeners. And what we're going to do is to take your questions and then let them respond to it, because some of them may overlap, some might tie right into the other, so we're going to condense this a little bit. So when the line is open, I'm just going to go through, I want you to identify yourself, you can just say your first name, and where you're calling from, please, let us know, and then state what your question is or what your comment is. Before we do that, why don't you tell our listeners about the upcoming workshop that you're having in Southern California?
All right. Okay, I'll go ahead and share that. We have a workshop coming up, and it's called the Total Speaker Workshop. And that workshop will take place September 12 and 13 in the city of Moreno Valley, which is in Southern California. And you can get more information about that workshop. There's a couple of ways to do it. You could go to TotalSpeakerWorkshop.com. That's TotalSpeakerWorkshop.com. Or if you have a cell phone, and you can write this down and maybe do the texting later, you can text the word speaker to 55469. Text the word speaker to 55469, and you will get a text message back with information on a link that you can click on and go right to the website right there on your mobile phone. So those are the two ways that you can obtain that. And the other piece is that the workshop, it begins actually on the 12th at 12 p.m. is the registration time. And so we go until 9 that evening, and then we crank it up again at 9 o'clock the next morning, which is Saturday, and we go into the evening. Now, the evening session, I brought this up because it involves a speaker showcase to where many of the speakers that have worked on pieces during the workshop, we actually have an opportunity to videotape them at the speaker showcase sharing their story before a group of people, because we open it up to the public and people can invite their friends and others that can come in and be a part of that speaker showcase in terms of the audience. So it's really a powerful experience that crescendos on Saturday evening with this particular showcase.
Awesome, awesome. And I am planning to be there. And actually what I would like to do for any of our former foster youth on my part who are listening, I want to make two special offers. One, to co-sponsor your registration for this workshop if you're in the Southern California area and think you can do so. I want you to email me at me at talktomisse.com or Ms. E, at foracildheart.org. And just indicate that you got this information here. Pardon me?
Wow, that's
the
great.
The other thing is, because telling your story is so part of, so much a part of writing your book, I know that in coaching and publishing members' books or clients' books, this is also a part of it. So I would want to, I feel bad I did not stop to actually figure out what I could offer that would be cost and time effective. But I think I will do offer a free coaching call to help someone to organize their manuscript and telling their story. So I would, you know, offer a session, a series of coaching calls just to get your story in manuscript form to be able to prepare it for publishing. And that is through HeartTalkPublications.com. And you can go to that website, which is www.hearttalkpublications.com. And you can also email info at hearttalkpublications. So those are the three ways that For Child's Heart and Ms. E would like to support our former foster youth in being able to discover the power in your story. So we're going to open up the line.
Before you open up the lines, I just want to say one thing in case it gets away from us. For everyone who's still thinking that they don't have a story, here's a real simple way to figure this out. If you have a picture of someone from your family that is passed, someone you were close to, or maybe not, it doesn't really matter, and you look at that picture, and if that picture could start talking, how long would you listen? Probably as long as it would speak. You are that person to someone else. And you were talking, Evelyn, about publishing a book. This is what Dwight and I know down to the core of who we are. The stories that we have heard and the people that we have encountered, if they were to put it into a book, it's better than 90% of the books that have ever been published. But it's still, it only exists between your ears. And the public needs it. They really do need it.
Yes, yes, indeed. Okay, so we're going to open the line. We want to say if you have any background noise, if you're in a public location, If you are cooking dinner, washing dishes, or the baby or dog are acting up, please mute yourself out because we want for everyone to be able to hear. And this call is being recorded, and within 20 minutes after the broadcast, you will be able to listen to it online. So at this point, we're going to open up. If I hear noise, I'm just going to click the caller off. So here we go. You're on the line. Would you like to speak to Dwight or Dan or myself? Thank you for calling in this evening.
Hello, this my name is Brandon Draper, and I'm calling out from Georgia.
Where are you calling from?
What's that, ma'am?
Where are you calling from?
Georgia.
Okay, sounds like you got a little background noise.
I'm in a complete silent room right now. I'm in my office. I don't know what you're hearing.
Okay,
okay, now it's better.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm calling my net like once again. My name is Brandon Draper, and I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. And the message that I received, I got on this call a little late because I actually had my own blog talk, and I was on. And as soon as I got off of that, I hopped on here, and Dan, I actually got to hear Dwight and Dan and so on Monday on Les Brown's call, and what you said, Dan, a couple of minutes ago kind of resonate with me because, you know, I lost my mom March 26, 2009, and when you said, you know, if you can look at a photo and that photo can talk to you, how long would you listen? And it just sent chills to me because I was, you know, I was thinking about my mom and, you know, aspiring to do, you know, so much great things in this world. And, you know, and hearing you guys, you know, you don't know what you don't know, but you think you know. And to hear you say that, I came to this realization tonight that you don't know everything. You know, and I realized that I don't know everything. And to hear you say that about this story, and one thing about me, I'm an orator, I love to talk to people, but that has opened me up to a whole nother level of understanding about the simple things in life. And when you said about that picture, and I stare at my mom's picture, and I get lost in the moment, you know, because that's really, that really matters the most is those moments. I remember the last moment, you know, my mom, that I had with my mother, before she passed away, you know, before she got sick. So mom died from lung cancer. And, you know, I watched a 200-and-something-pound woman, you know, shrivel down to 67 pounds, and I had to watch her, you know. And I made some promises to her that, you know, and I'm sorry I'm getting a little choked up right now, but I made some promises to my mom that I would, you know, try my best of my ability to aspire to greatness, not for my personal attribute or even hers, but it was as if she passed the torch to me because my mom, you know, I was a single parent home, so my mom taught me every single thing in my life. And when I think about that and I try to think about all those moments and what she put into me and what she wasn't able to give to the world, but she gave it to me. And through me, I have to give it to the world, my voice and my story, because we went through so much, her and I, and it just touches me. And, you know, it's touching me on a whole nother level. And, I mean, you guys may not even understand it. You don't know me from a hole in the wall. But I'm shaking right now because of what you just said. Your voice, your story, yourself, and to be able to say, you know, it took you 15 years for you to actually come out and say, you know, I was homeless. And there's things that's part of our story that we, you know, we don't always want to tell. But those experiences that we go through, what I gathered from hearing that was that sometimes those experiences are not necessarily for you. Even though you go through them, they're not for you. They're for you to help someone else that may be going through it. And, man, I just wanted to say thank you, you know, for giving this outlet, because even with, you know, my talks, this gives me another level. And I was on the fence about coming because I'm all the way in Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, I know about the Total Speakers Workshop. And, you know, I'm like, man, you know, I might have to catch them another time when they come on the East Coast. So now, you know, I'm going to make it my business. I've never been to California in my life, but I'm going to make it my business to get out there and experience this workshop for myself. Because, I was getting to the point like, okay, I'm good. I catch those guys. But now that I heard that, you touched me in a whole nother level. And I will be there. Hopefully that I will see you. I definitely will see you guys there. I know you're giving the workshop. And hopefully I can express that story to you in the circumstances in life that I've experienced so I can help other people transcend and transform their lives. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Really,
thank
we have
so
we have to thank you
Brandon.
Because
I
think you summed up the call in what you just said. And, you know, to say I don't know you from anybody, change 2009 to 1999, lung cancer and my mother, it's the same story. And that's a lot of where this drive in me came from to, you know, to sometimes some people may say what I say is sometimes blunt, but it's that important to me to call people out to say no one can tell your story for you. It's you. It's your responsibility. And like you said, you know, some of the experiences that we went through in life and sometimes being, you know, being in the victim position, somebody has to be in the victim position for the perpetrator to learn the lesson. So we were put in that position maybe for someone else to learn their lesson. We were put there because we were strong enough to handle it. And that's that's part of our responsibilities. Thank you so much for your comment.
Yeah, that's great.
Does anyone else have anything you'd like to share or comment or ask of our guests, White and Dan?
Brandon, let me just say this to Brandon. Brandon, thank you so much, and I echo everything that Dan and Evelyn are saying and even what they're feeling relative to your response to Dan. And I think Evelyn asked the question, you know, what is the power of story? And we just heard and felt, because I was thinking about the chills you had. I was going to tell you those are some contagious chills, because as you begin to share and to go to the level of trying to express where you were at, there was this difficulty in really conveying, but you kept pushing until you got the breakthrough in terms of being able to share your feelings as a result of that. And, yes, your mother is still speaking. She's not only speaking to you, she is speaking through you, because based upon what we heard from you, it helps us to know her even on a greater degree. And, again, we don't know her from anybody else, but we have heard you, and therefore the part of you that was expressed gave us an insight or an inkling to what Mama was like.
Exactly. And when we speak, we're speaking in behalf of the legacy of all those who've sown into our lives, which brings for me the whole issue of the village concept. You know, we are full of the villagers, and so the things that we speak is a conglomeration of everything that everyone has taught us so that we can continue the legacy and reach the village.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
And the moment that we start to speak, we need to keep in mind that it's not about us. It's like Dwight said, it's coming through us. We are the messenger.
Indeed.
Because ego will ruin a good story.
Yeah. And you can tell, I think something you said earlier, you know, about the integrity, the honesty of the speaker, you can tell when someone is sharing a story just to boast. About their experiences, you know, we call it a certain body function contest. Like, who's crossed the biggest mountains, who's had the biggest fights, who spent the most time in prison, those kind of things. It's like, no, that's not the intent of the story. The intent of the story is to say, and here is what is possible. Yes.
And I agree totally with
remarks?
You guys. I was saying that this is Brandon again. I was just saying that I totally agree, you know, with you guys, because one of the things that I've learned that you can't allow, you know, your talents to take you where your integrity can't sustain you. And, you know, I just did a youth rally, and I wasn't expecting to have the results that, you know, that I had. We had only standing room. And I'm not saying, I'm like Les Brown, I'm not saying that to impress you, but to impress upon you what one individual said to me. You know, I was telling, you know, going over my bio a little bit at the beginning of it, and I asked, I was going through the audience, and I was asking different young people, like, what is it that you want to be? What is it? Because there was a point in time I was lost and what I wanted to be, what was my purpose in life. And this one young lady stood up, and she said, I want to be a CEO. And it didn't dawn on me why she said that. And I was like, okay, a CEO. It's kind of weird. I never heard someone say they want to be a CEO. And I said, why do you want to be a CEO? And I almost cried with the answer that she gave me. And the reason I'm saying that is because if at any point I wanted to give up on what I was doing as far as being a speaker, writing a book, or if I wanted to give up, the words that she said would not allow me to do it. She said, I want to be a CEO because I see you, and I've never seen someone like you as successful as you are, and I want to be just like you. And I almost dropped the ball. I couldn't get myself together when she said that to me because I never knew I could make an impression on someone. And like you said earlier, it was simply because of what my mom showed me, what she displayed to me. You know, even though my father was absent out of my life, I just met my father in person as an adult 3 weeks ago. And there were children in that audience that never seen their father at all. And it was one young man, he just had an attitude. He had an attitude, and I couldn't figure out, but when I said that, this boy, like, he stood up in his chair and he looked at me, and he put the headphones down. He wasn't toning out, because at that point, it wasn't just me communicating to him. I actually connected with him. I couldn't quit if I wanted to. And hearing this call tonight, hearing this from you guys tonight, it just further lets me know that I'm walking in my purpose and that I got to continue going on, and I have to tell people my story, because I don't know how many people have gone through what I've gone through. And just to know, because some people, I felt that way sometimes, that I'm alone. But when someone shares their story with me, they interrupt what's going on in my head to allow me to think differently. And that's what you guys have done tonight, even though I may say I've done this, I've done that, but to hear it come from you guys and say, man, you know, everyone still has that story no matter where you're at. That negative story is always going to perpetuate in your mind. But then when you get around the right people and you hear the right messages, you're able to interrupt that, and then you're able to share that and change people's lives. And I'm sorry, guys, I know I'm rambling on here, but, you know, it's just, it's just so inspiring. You just don't know what you've done tonight. I mean, you just don't know.
Well, you,
thank
yeah.
you, man.
And
I thank you guys.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's a manifestation of power.
We thank you.
Power gives surge, power gives energy, and power, as you said, Dan, attracts, it draws. So there's a lot of power. This has been a powerful interview, and I thank each of you. Dwight and Dan, give our listeners information to contact you.
Go ahead, Dwight.
Okay, great. All right, thank you, Evelyn. Yeah, you're right. This crescendo here is really a blessing. So I appreciate what Brandon's did tonight. The contact information for us is totalspeakerworkshop.com, www.totalspeakerworkshop.com, and there's where contact information for Dan and I are also on the website, information about our three levels of coaching programs there, and, of course, complete information about the Total Speaker Workshop. And then if you want to stay in contact with us in terms of keeping up with things we're doing, like this blog talk tonight, the Les Brown call on Monday, you can text the word speaker to 55469. Text the word speaker to 55469. You'll be opting into our text blast that are sent out to keep you posted on all the things that we're doing in terms of our schedule and in terms of workshops and also for conference calls that we're having on a regular basis as well.
Wonderful. And to contact me on Facebook, you can go to Talk to Me, Let Me Speak, Miss Evelyn, the Heart Lady. And then my that's the fan page and my Facebook page profile is Miss Evelyn, the Heart Lady Polk. And Brandon, please find me on Facebook or email me at me@talktomse.com. I really would like to talk to you about something. And you're also special because my youngest son is named Brandon. I also want our young people, I want our listeners to find, you can find Dwight, Dan, and myself along with the rest of the platinum speakers on Facebook at Thrive in 2014 on Facebook. You can also find us at the Les Brown Platinum Speakers Network on Facebook. Please post your responses or comments to this program and let us know that you're listening because I see you out there. So I guess people just not ready to talk yet, but I know that you have a story. So please post, let us and let others know what you got out of listening to this, and let us know how to contact us. Also, our website, www.lesbrownplatinumspeakersnetwork, and you can go on there and click subscribe to newsletter, and you can hear what all of us are doing, individually and collectively. So I am so grateful, Dwight and Dan, for your being here. And as usual, we always have a blast, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in 2 weeks, and I know it's going to be fun, and powerful.
Absolutely. Well, Evelyn, thank you so much for this opportunity, and, of course, we go way back, and you know how I feel about you. You've been a blessing. You've watched our progression, and we've watched your progression, and I just want to really commend and affirm you tonight for how you carried this program with some very, very insightful questions. But not only that, the comments and your input really shows, another level of maturity in who you are and how you show up. And so it's going to be an honor and a privilege to have you with us in the workshop because you will not only be coming there to learn some things, but it's really clear that you have some impartation that you can make that can contribute and to help others. And so I'm just excited. And for all of the listeners on the call tonight, I just want to say God bless you and thank you for being an encouragement to Evelyn, an encouragement to Dan and myself. And if we don't see you at the workshop or wherever, we just hope that we were able to impart something that helped you to get a little further along in what you do. And Dan, of course, you know how I feel about you. I appreciate you. And I can't wait till the workshop.
Yes. And I'm also appealing to the two of you that you're coming, bringing that up to Northern California. Okay?
Absolutely, Evelyn. You represent and you speak for a very specific group of people whose voice really, really needs to be heard. There's a lot of things that need to change in that system that we don't have time to talk about right now, but we would love to do that. We want to come to Northern California. We want to talk to the people that you work with, the people that you represent. Everyone needs to hear their voices. They have been put down and told to shut up too long. It's time for them to speak up.
Absolutely. We'll be up north. And when I hear people like Brandon on the call and the insight and the passion that he has for story and the power of story, one of the visions we have for the Total Speaker Workshop is to do some train-the-trainer workshops to where they can pick this model up and take it to the East Coast and the Northeast and places like that and duplicate this experience not only around the country but around the world. So you reminded me of that tonight, Brandon, and I appreciate that as well.
Yes, indeed. And as I shared with the two of you, that I'm taking a group of young men out to the California State Prison here in Northern California next month. And so I believe two of them are on the line, even though they're not saying anything. but there are six young men that I'm planning to take with me, and I am so excited because for some, this will be their debut speaking engagement and sharing their stories and finding the power in it. So thanks so much. Take care. God bless. And to everyone, do something special for us. Pleasure on. And remember, you can always talk to me. God bless and good night.
Heavenly mothers crying, see the children are dying at the hands of the other child. I know her heart is breaking, I feel the earth is shaking, but rivers flow from the tears she cries. She cries, she cries.